The West Live. The West Live. With Ben O'Shea. Brought to you by the WA Local Government Association. What's your happy place?
Now, the McGowan government won't say the word crisis, but there's no other way to describe the WA health system right now. Joining me now to unpack this growing disaster is Shadow Health spokesperson Libby Medham. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Ben and listeners.
And so, how bad do you think it is in the health system at the moment, and why won't the government admit it's a crisis?
It's a very good question, Ben. This is a government that's sitting on a $4 to $5 billion surplus and is reluctant to address and really acknowledge the issues that are happening across the board in the health system. It is a crisis wherever you look, whether it's at ambulance ramping numbers, and now what we're hearing overwhelmingly are real issues of staff morale in our hospitals as well. Recently, we received, the opposition received emails from Fiona Stanley Health health workers, which revealed that many are experiencing panic attacks before work, many are experiencing burnout, and they are really concerned about the impact on patient care. Right across the board, we are seeing issues, record numbers of code yellow emergencies as well, and we had a bed state black recently at Fiona Stanley as well, where there was not any beds available.
And I'm getting correspondence from those same health workers, and from what I'm hearing is they feel like they've been thrown under the bus, and at the same time they're getting emails from higher up the food chain asking them to, you know, play a role in improving the culture of the health system, which they find, I think, from the people that I've spoken to, they find it quite offensive and condescending, and that it's just a band-aid solution to try and fix problems that go much deeper than that. Do you think the health staff have been thrown under the bus?
I certainly do. I think ahead of the independent inquiry into Aishwarya's tragic death at Perth Children's Hospital, the response from the government, which was to send the junior staff workers to be investigated, was absolutely the wrong response, particularly ahead of an independent investigation into that inquiry and ahead of a lot of significant reporting from junior staff and others about the workplace conditions. Workplace conditions which they had warned more senior management about in relation to patient safety. So there have been warnings right across the board from these staff about the work conditions that they're working under, and many are saying it's something that they have never experienced in the health workplace. And we're hearing it right across the board, not just at Perth Children's Hospital, but also at Fiona Stanley Hospital, Royal Perth Hospital and others. And the government do need to look at urgently addressing this as a priority. Recent parliamentary questions also reveal that almost a third of the workforce also have a compounding 8 weeks of leave, which is about two years' worth of leave, which means that our staff quite obviously are overworked. They haven't had the leave that they are due, which does have an impact on staff morale, and quite obviously this will have a significant impact on patient outcome.
And if you're having health workers saying to you that, you know, they're feeling anxiety before they go to work, and now we know that they're not being able to take these leave entitlements, do you fear that we just could see a mass exodus of some of these qualified staff from the health system because it's just all getting too hard?
It could lead to the fact that we will be losing our good people, in the health system. We know how dedicated our health workers are to their job. Overwhelmingly, the feedback, whether you're hearing it from patients' families or the workers themselves, they love their job and they are committed to their patients, and that's why we're also saying that they're not taking the leave that they're entitled to as well. But there is only so much pressure that a health worker can can work in, and we see that present itself where there are issues around patient outcomes, where there are issues where people simply don't want to go to work. There are also those issues around panic attacks and significant levels of stress that we're seeing at the workplace, and this is completely unacceptable. The government does need to do more. They need to invest in our health workforce to ensure that we have that standard of care and that health workforce that is supported in a way that is acceptable to the people of Western Australia. Overwhelmingly, this is what people in the street are talking to me about.
You say the government needs to do more. Do you think Health Minister Roger Cook is doing enough? Do you have confidence that he is the right person to turn this ship around?
Look, I feel that there does need to be a line in the sand, and that we do need to look beyond Minister Cook in terms of addressing these outcomes. But I also believe and I know the Premier is committed to keeping Cook in that role, but what I would say is we need a Health Minister who is dedicated to the job. And at this point in time, with the crisis that we're seeing across the board, we cannot afford to have a minister who also is a minister for any other portfolio areas. Because every hour that the Minister for Health spends in other portfolios, such as state development, is an hour that is not dedicated to this important area of health. In a situation where we don't have emergency beds, which was the case last week at 5 a.m. On one of the mornings last week, there weren't any emergency department beds available. We need a minister who is wholly committed to that role. We know that the Labor caucus has never been so large. There are plenty of very committed, hard-working Labor members who I'm sure would be up to the task of taking on one of those other portfolio areas. But what is blatantly clear is that we need a health minister who is wholly committed to addressing this crisis. And that's with resourcing, that is with listening to patients' and health workers' concerns, and that is a minister who's not, he's not talking about a system that is challenged or is working magnificently, but a minister that is addressing these very real concerns that we're hearing on the ground in our hospitals.
And do you think, as much as anything, the sector could just benefit from a blank slate, a new health minister coming in, just to sort of, you know, as a circuit breaker to, give a break from some of the rhetoric that we've heard from Roger Cook recently, and move forward with a fresh start?
I do think we need a fresh start. I do think we need a line in the sand. I think that, you know, I understand Minister Cook has had a lot of experience in looking at this portfolio, but what has disappointed health workers and patients and the public is the spin that we've seen from the minister, talking about a system that is working magnificently, and that was straight after Ashwari's the tragedy surrounding her death, where she had to wait, or the family waited 2 hours to be properly addressed in that emergency department. The spin we're seeing around the ambulance ramping numbers, which have been triple in many cases, in some cases what we'd seen when he was in opposition, when he'd called the situation a crisis. The spin that we've seen with calling this situation just a challenge, it is insulting to the health workers, and for that reason, I do think we need a new set of eyes, someone who's committed to the job, someone who will fight to ensure that this health system is properly resourced, because we can't afford it. This is, you know, we can't afford to see more tragedies occur.
And is the situation so bad now that it's kind of beyond the point of playing politics, and maybe you have a role to play as the shadow health spokesperson to work collegiately with the government to try and get some meaningful change? Is there something that you can do to help fix this mess?
I think the opposition, we are trying to work constructively to fix this mess. And a way of doing that is to counter the spin that we're seeing from the health minister. for a government to say and suggest that you know, this situation is is acceptable and is not a crisis is not the right starting point. To say that it is just happening nationally, when we see in the state of Victoria, which has just come out of a lockdown, being reintroducing elective surgery now, and WA still having such a suspension in place, does illustrate that we are certainly, we are certainly not operating our health system as well as it can be. We are the only state that's also enjoying a surplus, and the overwhelming feedback that I'm receiving from the public is that at what cost are we having or enjoying such a surplus if our health system is in such a dire situation? Our role is to keep asking questions to the government, and whether that's in Parliament or raising them publicly, but also to highlight the fact that the situation is not as rosy as the Minister for Health and the Premier would like you to think.
Well, it certainly was rosy as far as the vaccination rollout went last week when they opened up the Pfizer jab for the over 30s. There was huge numbers at the mass vaccination centre in Claremont, but the vaccination rates have stalled in over 50s, and now there are campaigns by that cohort to get their hands on the Pfizer jab. Premier Mark McGowan has dug his heels in on that. Really quite strong words from him about the over 50s just rolling up their sleeves and getting on with it. Do you think we just need to get people vaccinated any way we can, and if that means giving the over 50s Pfizer, then we just do it?
Look, at this, I can understand the government's approach to this, and I think overwhelmingly what we are seeing with the statistics around the AstraZeneca jab is that it is overwhelmingly safe. We do need to get on board and support the rollout of the AstraZeneca jab and the Pfizer jab for those under 50. And I certainly, you know, support the Premier in that respect. Quite overwhelmingly, the risk associated with AstraZeneca is low. If we are going to move forward and see our economy, our way of life move back to normal, we do need to support the rollout of the vaccination. And the opposition alliance have been very supportive of the government. I think that what we do need to look at potentially is, you know, perhaps other measures to encourage the vaccination jab for over 50s, and look at other measures of, you know, getting the good word out about why and how it is safe, and you know, encouraging people to roll up for WA.
I can tell you though, like, I'm getting emails from people every day in that over 50s cohort, and they're not anti-vaxxers. They're smart, professional people, and you're not going to be able to get them to roll up their sleeves and take that jab, because unless there is a really severe outbreak of COVID in the community and they are personally worried about catching it, they're just not going to take the risk when they believe that Pfizer might become available later in the year. Do you think there's a danger that we're alienating those over 50s?
Look, possibly, but it is a difficult situation. I also appreciate that how important it is that those over 50 are also vaccinated, given that they are a more vulnerable age group than those over 30. And communication is so important when it comes to encouraging the rollout of the vaccination. We just do need to get on board. I encourage those over 50 to talk to their GP and, you know, get the information about why and how it is safe, and the overall benefits, not only for themselves but for the rest of the WA community, if they are going to, you know, to take that opportunity and get vaccinated.
Now, as a woman in politics, you've succeeded in an environment that traditionally has been very male-dominated. That's been a topic of conversation in WA over the last couple of weeks in terms of the behaviour on mining camps. We saw a really worrying alleged rape at a BHP camp last week, and now there's talk that that FIFO culture needs an overhaul. Do you think that the resource sector has played such a big role in the WA economy over decades, really, that people maybe have put their head in the sand when it comes to the behaviour of the high-vis crowd on those mining sites?
Look, what I would say is that these miners, like any other workplace, are fully aware of their duty of care, and I would imagine, and what we've heard from the miners already, is that they will be putting in place, regardless of whatever workplace you are overseeing, the behaviour that we have seen reported is totally unacceptable. And I would imagine that BHP, and we've heard from BHP already of concerns, and it is essential that measures are put in place to ensure that such behaviour is not tolerated. And I think that the concerns raised in the West and in the media are concerns shared by the general public, and there is no place for that kind of behaviour in any workplace here in WA.
And those big miners, the BHP, the Rio Tinto, the top end of town, there's a story in the paper today about the WA Liberal Party's relationship with some of the state's biggest businesses and what that relationship might be like at the moment after a state council meeting on Saturday. Is the WA Liberal brand aligned with the big business of WA in the same way it has been in years past, or is there a bit of a problem here?
I'm not aware of any problems between the WA Liberal Party and business in Western Australia. Unfortunately, I didn't go to the state council that you're referring to, but I'm certainly, we're very committed to engaging with business right across the board, and won a clear commitment that Dr. David Honey is the leader of the Liberal Party, but also collectively the parliamentary team are committed to is engaging with business right across the board. And we will be doing that as well as a range of community groups and our electorates over the next 4 years.
Shadow Health spokesperson Libby Medham and member for VAS, thanks for being on the West Live today.
Thank you, Ben, and listeners.